Here on Gadget Lab, we dive deep into the tech universe, tackling questions like, is giving companies access to your genetic material a good idea? And are the latest phone releases really that different than the last ones? We want to help you make informed decisions about what is worth your attention. And here's something that is undeniably worth your time, a digital subscription to Wired. Lucky for you, we are giving Gadget Lab listeners an exclusive discount, 20% off an annual subscription to Wired. Just visit wired.com and use the promo code GL20 to get 20% off a digital subscription. Use GL20 to get exclusive access to stories on the latest innovations like AI, deepfakes, and VR, as well as today's most talked about people in technology.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
AI is making waves in every field it touches. President Biden is now on TikTok, and the election draws closer each day. With so much going on in the world, it is hard to keep up with it all, let me tell you. Hi, I'm Kai Ryssdal, the co-host of Make Me Smart. It's a podcast from Marketplace. And every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I break down the latest in business and the economy with short daily episodes to make it easy for you to stay in the know. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.
Gilad.
Lauren.
Gilad, do you ever have a voice phone call and then think, this really could have just been a video call?
Literally never.
That is the appropriate response. What if I told you that, unfortunately, even more video chat apps are coming your way?
I would ask if we could take this conversation to text, I guess.
Unfortunately, we can't do that because this is a podcast.
recording this?
Yeah, and we are on video.
Oh, my gosh.
Which is
why. Oh, yeah, there I am.
Yeah, all right. Yeah, we should talk about this. Hi, everyone. Welcome to Gadget Lab. I'm Lauren Good. I'm a senior writer at Wired. And as you can probably tell by our intro, my usual podcast co-host, Michael Calori, is not here this week. He's taking a much deserved vacation. He's out in the woods. He doesn't have cell service. Or maybe he's just slacking off. But had to start with a dad joke. But filling in as my co-host for the next couple of episodes is the one and only Gilad Edelman, my fellow senior writer here at Wired. Hey, Gilad, thanks for joining me.
Hello, thanks for having me.
It's in really exciting to have
in honor of podcast dad Calori, who's out. I have not had any animal products to eat so far today.
Really?
Yeah.
That's pretty amazing. How long are you going to keep that up for?
Until right after the podcast.
Okay, great. I'm sure Mike appreciates any effort you're making. All right, so we made a joke earlier about slacking off, and that's because today we're talking about something that we use every single day here at Wired, and I'm sure a lot of you do too. I'm talking about Slack, the workplace messaging service. Slack has really come to define our work lives, especially over the past couple of years when a lot of us desk workers were working from home. Slack is now its own verb. People say, like, he slacked me or just slack it to me. It's one of these apps that shapes office culture. It sometimes gets people into trouble, but generally it enables us to communicate a little bit better when we're not all in the same office or, in our case, newsroom. So, there's this feature on Slack called Huddles. It launched last year, and this lets you spontaneously join an audio call with anyone in your Slack workspace. And now there's a new feature in Huddles. And Gilad, are you ready for this?
Hang on one second. Okay.
It's Zoom.
Slack Zoom.
All right, okay. It's not actually Zoom.
They didn't merge.
This is not
an integration.
They didn't merge.
I feel like we're going to get sued if you let that previous claim stand.
Right. Let's just be clear. Zoom is now not part of the Salesforce family, which is inevitably what the blog would say if there was an acquisition. But I'm saying it's Zoom because it's like the Zoomification of Slack. Slack is turning Huddles into what they're calling a co-working space, and it's going to have video chatting. So Galad, what are your thoughts on this?
I think I need to know a little bit more how it works. Like, have you gotten to play with this feature?
I haven't, actually. I've gotten a briefing with Slack. The feature is not going to be rolling out to Slack users until the fall. I did see some GIFs, though. So that's like using it, right?
Definitely.
Definitely.
So I guess my question is, like, so you can be in a Slack with one person or a group. You can, if you then hit the huddle thing, now suddenly you're all basically joining a call, and it's like a conference call, but it's just in Slack where you already are.
It's not quite like that. Okay. So first of all, I should note that Slack does already have a video chatting feature. That's been around for at least 5 or 6 years at this
point.
Wait,
really?
Yes, but it's kind of like hidden within Slack. Like, not a lot of people use it, but apparently it's there. So I could video chat you now, but for whatever reason, people were just not using that as much as huddles. Like, one, because the icon is actually a phone icon. It isn't like a
yeah.
The way I'm looking at it right now, it's not like a
it's
video.
It's a phone.
Camera.
It's literally a phone. Yeah. It's like, why would you think that's a video?
So maybe it's something about the prioritization here, where it's actually huddle is positioned above the option of a video meeting. But also, it could just be that people see the, you know, have a quick audio discussion with your team. Sounds a lot better and more efficient than doing yet another video conference. But for whatever reason, people weren't really using that as much as huddles. And people really liked huddles. Slack said that huddles is the fastest adopted feature they've had since Slack started as a company 9 years ago.
Wow.
Like 44% of their, you know, Fortune 100 clients, people who pay like lots of money for monthly access to Slack, are using huddles.
It's kind of funny how it's like they replaced a lot of, you know, what once upon a time were phone calls or like, you know, walk across the office and talk to someone with text-based conversations. And then their huge innovation was, oh, what if you could actually talk to somebody?
What if you could actually just hear someone's voice? What if you could have a quick huddle, right? And so now with this new update that's going to be rolling out in the fall, which I have not yet had a chance to play with, they're going to be turning huddles into what they call a co-working space. Except they swear that like that initial sort of interaction of like, tap the phone icon, start a huddle is still going to be there because they want to try to keep it lightweight and simplistic. But then when you're in the huddle, you're going to see some sort of option to the side that's like, do you want to turn this into a co-working space? And then you're going to have the option to start a video chat, share screens, and not just one screen at a time, but multiple screens at a time, which actually sounds rather chaotic. have emoji reactions. So you could like send someone a heart if you like what they're saying during a call or a huddle, and then it would like float on the screen or whatnot, or confetti or whatever the thing is. And then if you decide to start a chat log during the huddle, the chat log and any documents you share as part of that log will automatically be stored in a channel or DM, so that it's there to access after your call. So it really does feel like the Zoomification of Slack huddles.
Interesting. Well, I mean, I think the screen sharing thing seems like an important part of that, because there's not that many reasons to have a video conversation when audio would do. Having to look at some thing together is one of them. Another one I was thinking about is if there's just a lot of people, it can be hard to do an audio-only call, conference call, because you just sort of, people keep interrupting each other and there's no visual cue where you can tell somebody's trying to like be the next person to say something, which you do get from video. I mean, this actually makes total sense, because like Zoom, getting somebody into a Zoom remains a little bit clunky. So I don't know how it is at other workplaces, but we have to log into like our backend thing and then find the Zoom app and then create the meeting. And then you got to send the link. And then it's just like, it's not the most seamless thing. And I can imagine if you're already talking to people, just being able to jump from there into a video would make it feel a little bit less painful.
Pal, I got to tell you about calendar integrations for Zoom. We're going to get to recommendations, you know, as the last part of the show, per usual. But calendar integrations will change your life, because you can just create a calendar appointment and then add a video conference, and a Zoom link is automatically generated for you. Just an FYI.
Okay. Well, I don't want to spoil the recommendations part, so I won't respond to that.
Okay.
So I'm still a little bit confused though. You say there's already video in Slack. So I'm not sure I've quite pinned down what the new thing is here.
It's really this idea that they're sort of collating all of these features into one space. Like, I think that they're trying to ride the wave of momentum. Is that like, am I combining two different phrases there? They're trying to ride the wave. They're trying to
grab the momentum. A wave can be made out of momentum. That's fine.
A wave does have momentum from a physics perspective. They're trying to ride that wave of huddles and how quickly their customers are adapting huddles to say like, oh, hey, while you're here, while you're clicking on this button, while you're starting this quick, super efficient audio chat, why don't you check out all this other stuff that we have? And I spoke to an analyst about this, someone who, you know, covers enterprise software and employee communication software. And what it really feels like is Slack is kind of towing the line between being what Slack is and what Slack is really good at, which is just like rapid real-time chats, and being like a full-fledged video conferencing system. They're sort of tiptoeing in that direction. They're saying, hey, we now have a co-working suite. We now have a co-working software feature that we're offering you, but they're not quite, you know, going full-fledged into Zoom, WebEx, Microsoft Teams, because once you get into that market, you're competing with some really, really big giants. And not only are you competing with really big giants, but you kind of have to like maintain that software and start to offer all of the other tools and services that your big enterprise clients are going to want. And that's just like a lot of work. Now, we should mention that Slack is now a part of Salesforce, right? Salesforce of the Salesforce Tower in San Francisco. It was a huge deal last year. It was a $28 billion acquisition when Salesforce bought Slack. Salesforce is known for their, you know, their sales management software that they sell to enterprises all over the world. And so it's possible at some point that Slack does move more and more towards becoming that suite, that big bloated enterprise software suite that's being offered, you know, to businesses all around the world. But it doesn't, you know, for now, it's just kind of like inching towards offering more of those services by like turning this really kind of fun, lightweight, hey, let's just have a quick chat in our Slack app, into something that's like, honestly, just very jargony.
Well, this, from the beginning, Slack had pretty grand ambitions to be more than just a chat platform. I went back and reread a 2014 profile of Slack's founder that Wired published, written by Matt Honan. And he talks about wanting Slack to become the new Microsoft and be a place where it's not just messaging, but where people are going to be collaborating on documents together and sort of doing, you know, all the stuff that employees rely on various different software applications to do. So in that sense, this feels like a step in that direction where you're just bringing more and more functions within Slack. And it's also, I think, they're competing with Microsoft Teams, right? A lot of workplaces use Teams, and Teams is out in front with the video integration. So it seems like a natural step in that competition as well.
It's funny. I feel like I never use Teams unless I'm taking a meeting with Microsoft.
Mm.
Do you use Teams a lot?
No. I'm trying to think of if I ever have. I think, yeah, maybe my last workplace maybe used Teams because we were on Outlook, and but like pretty quickly switched to Zoom.
I like don't know how to respond.
Sorry,
to
Teams.
No, it's
you suck.
No, it's kind of funny because it's same with Google Meet, whatever. I don't know what Google calls its things these days. I think it's still Meet, but people use that a little bit more frequently than they do Teams. But yeah, mostly it's like, I have a meeting with Google, I'm going to be using Meet. I have a meeting with Microsoft, I'm going to be using Teams. I once took a Teams meeting, a series of Teams meetings, just to figure out how to get a VR headset set up so I could like run some instance of software that Microsoft wanted me to try. And like, boy, was it a disaster. If there was like ever any, I wrote a story about it. And I said to Michael, like our pal and my editor, I was like, I can't write this story and not mention how ridiculous this process was. Because if this is supposed to be the future of work, I don't want this future. It was so hard to just join a meeting, and not because of just Teams, because of the process of getting into VR. I was like, I really would just like want a phone call right now. I just want a phone call, which is what Huddles offers in Slack. But now we're going to see if it ends up being a little bit bloated. Time will tell, as we like to say.
That's right.
All right. Thank you for your insights. We're going to take a quick break and then we're going to come back and we're going to slack off some more. And maybe, just maybe, I'm going to give Gilad a little space to rant.
This podcast is supported by Tools and Weapons, the podcast hosted by Microsoft Vice Chair and President Brad Smith. Each episode features insight you won't find anywhere else from the center of the conversation surrounding emerging technologies like AI. Right now on the podcast, you can hear a special episode where Brad Smith lays out Microsoft's vision for a vibrant marketplace driving the new AI economy. To hear more, follow or subscribe to Tools and Weapons with Brad Smith, wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Jeremy Larson, the reviews director of Pitchfork, and this podcast is supported by Pitchfork Music Festival. Pitchfork Music Festival will take place July 19th through the 21st at Union Park in Chicago, Illinois. This year's lineup features Jamie XX, Alanis Morissette, Black Pumas, Carly Rae Jepsen, Brittany Howard, Jay Paul, Muna, Jessie Ware, 100 Gex, and many more. The festival also features diverse vendors as well as a specialty record, poster, and craft fairs, and works to support local businesses while promoting the Chicago arts and food communities as a whole. For more information on tickets and lineup, visit pitchforkmusicfestival.com.
Okay, so before the break, we talked a little bit about how Slack's latest updates to Huddles, one of its fast-growing features, how that might change our work environments. We also talked about how this might compare to Zoom, which is a fair comparison. But overall, it might feel like the last thing anyone needs these days is yet another video chat app for work. I really had to take some dramatic pauses there. Aren't we totally zoomed out? I feel zoomed out. So I wanted to open this part of the podcast up, Gilad, because I wanted us to share our frustrations with these exhausting apps. And I thought maybe we'd call it emotional tech support. I'm here for you. Tell me how you feel.
Well, we're in a Zoom now. And we are collaborating with a shared Google Doc, and we were Slacking earlier today, and I feel like I have a presence on a lot of different platforms. It has become banal at this point to complain about Zoom fatigue. It is kind of remarkable. I was just thinking about how very early in the pandemic I interviewed an academic researcher who I didn't know. It was a COVID-related story, and we talked via Zoom, and I thought, gosh, this is so great. I can see this guy. It's just, wow, what a good tool this is compared to a phone call. And now I'm like, was I high? Was I like having a psychotic break when I thought that? Because now, in the vast majority of cases, I'm just like, a phone call would be lovely. I mean, in part because when you're trying to have a conversation, The Zoom aspect, the video aspect can be very distracting. I mean, you're distracted by your own appearance potentially or your own background. You can be distracted by their appearance and their background. And there's something actually intensely focusing, I find, about just an audio call. I do think there are exceptions. There are times when it feels helpful to see someone, especially if, as a, you know, we're writers. So we, like, mm-hmm. our use case for this is a little bit different, maybe from most white collar workers, but you know, certainly there's times when you actually want to know what somebody looks like because you might actually want to write about that when you're doing the story, obviously. And then the other time is just, as I mentioned before, when there's bigger groups, I sort of grudgingly accept the value of the video call just because at least you can kind of keep track of who's talking, mm-hmm. which seems like a small thing, but it's actually pretty important when you're trying to have a large meeting of people talking. And I think that more than anything might be why Zoom meetings are so sticky, because they do kind of solve that very basic problem of like, wait, who's talking?
Yeah. And the hand raising emoji is really helpful too for that kind of thing. So that people can indicate that they want to speak next. And it's not just people stepping all over each other like they might on a conference call, phone call, or even in an in-person meeting room.
Right. Another reason I resent video meetings is that I love to take phone calls while walking. You can't always do this because sometimes you actually need to be writing stuff down or, you know, looking at stuff together. But I'm a big fan of the walk and talk, which obviously doesn't work when you're supposed to be staring into your laptop camera. So if something can just be a phone call and I can go get, you know, go get 4,000 steps and we also, you know, hash some ideas out, that's kind of my sweet spot.
See, I don't like the walking phone call, mostly because I really love taking notes during meetings. And so I like being able to either type something quickly or just sit down with an old-fashioned notebook and pen. But I do respect your love of the walking phone call. And I have been on the receiving end of those before and they're delightful. I feel like I'm always like, how's Berkeley? And you're like, quiet. I'm like, cool. Moving on.
No, it's, hey, wait a minute. I praise its beautiful weather and incredible flora.
Now, I really appreciate that you're in Berkeley. I appreciate that when you moved to the Bay Area, you were like, I'm going full Bay Area. I'm moving to Berkeley. One of the things that I still feel like I'm not totally used to with Zoom, and at this point, it's my own fault, is like the surprise executive on the Zoom call. Like, I should just be presentable if I think there's even a possibility of there being a video component of a call. And I guess, so I guess maybe this happens more on things like Meets or other types of meetings where like you're, or a WebEx or something where you're like, huh, this could just be a group of people talking. But I like during the pandemic, I'm pretty sure I took, I know I did. I took a video call with Al Gore in my pajamas. Like I'm still, Al Gore is not thinking about this. He probably doesn't even remember this conversation, but I showed up for a video meeting. I was wearing pajama bottoms, which you could not see. I was sitting on my couch and I was wearing a very old sweater. Like I was wearing the kind of sweater that people write about in breakup songs when they're like, my old sweater. Like, you know, it was ratty. And like, I'm pretty sure my hair was in a bun and I'm all like, oh, hello, Mr. Sir Vice President. You know, like I was like, oh my God, I cannot believe this is a video call. And I should have learned my lesson then. But since then, it has happened at least two other times. Actually, one of the times that I popped onto a video meeting and there was a surprise executive, I was dressed for the office. So that was good. But another time recently, I popped on and the company was like, look, we have brought this person onto the call to answer your questions. And I was like, oh my gosh. So yeah, I gotta get better about this. Mm. I say this as I'm wearing like a really sweaty shirt that I wore to the gym this morning.
Even though I'm the chief executive of Condé Nast.
And you are. I should have anticipated. Anticipated that, like, surprise. Perhaps, you know, Roger Lynch or Anna Wintour would want to just hop on this podcast taping. And I'm never ready for it. So I think there should be, but I think there should be clearer communication when something is actually going to be video versus, let's say, one of our lightweight little huddles.
Do you have any feature ideas? Like if you were Slack queen for a day or Zoom queen for a day?
I have one high level serious idea and then I have like sort of a joking one, but I still think could be useful, which is high level. If I were queen of Slack or Zoom for the day, I would encourage everyone to read Clive Thompson's essay, which I shared on my Twitter this week, about maximum viable product, which he sort of explains what he means by that. But the crux of it is so many product teams now just keep packing some of our favorite, most useful applications with features. Feature bloat happens really fast. They become unusable. And some of the best apps for productivity and whatnot are like actually still really streamlined. And so consider that. I would say to the product team, like, consider that as you're building out Slack, as you're building out Zoom. You know, Zoom recently came under fire for in the future saying it was going to do like some kind of like voice tone tracking, like emotion tracking. And like, why? Why? Right? Like, just know when to stop. That's my high level. And then my little micro suggestion would be there should be a Slack bot that just every so often pops up and says, just go outside. Just go outside. Now, if you are not able to always go outside or perhaps you have accessibility issues or whatever, you know, like I want to acknowledge that not everyone can just get up and go for a jog outside, right? But like, but I think it is a good idea to have the occasional reminder to step away from the screen and go get some sunlight and breathe in some fresh air and just step away from the screen.
That's why I'm all about the walk and talk, Lauren.
Fair enough. It all comes back to the walk and talk.
It does.
Did you come up with anything else?
Actually, yeah. I recall that like one dark side to Slack, of course, is that like there's a danger in putting everything in writing that might otherwise have been a phone call. And
spoken like a true lawyer.
Yeah, and a tech reporter for that matter. And, you know, our employer has access to our Slack conversations, and that's terrifying. And I think it'd be cool for, I can imagine most employers not going for this, but cool, enlightened employers being okay with like a disappearing messages feature, or like an auto delete after, you know, 3 months or something. Because of course there are times when you want to go back and be like, wait, weren't we talking? We were slacking about this. What was that? Or like, what was that link? So I wouldn't necessarily want Slack to go full Snapchat on me. But, you know, it's a little bit creepy to think that just all these conversations we're having are just piling up and are the property of our employer.
Fair enough. I like that. So basically Snapchat meets Slack.
Something in between, yeah.
Snack?
Yeah.
Slapchat?
Slapchat.
Slapchat. I like that. We could do a little viral marketing campaign where we give people slap bracelets.
Snack is also a good name for something. It probably already is a startup, but...
Well, I think we have to wait for our friend Michael Calori to come back and weigh in on that, since he is point. Snack Fight. All right, this has been really fun. Let's take another quick break, and then we're going to come back with our recommendations.
Hey, everybody, it's Neil. I've got some huge news. Decoder is moving to Mondays and Thursdays. We're adding a second episode of the show. On Mondays, we'll have our classic interviews with CEOs and other troublemakers.
I think we're going to have to start having conversations about how do we pay those jobs that can't be done by AI.
And on Thursdays, we'll be explaining big topics in the news with Verge reporters, experts, and other friends of the show.
There's a new generation of people on the internet. Google search has always sucked for them. So, you know, there's no reason for them to be loyal. They can just go to TikTok.
This is going to be really fun. I'm very excited about all this. So go subscribe wherever you get your podcasts now.
Glad, I'm a little afraid to ask you. I'm a little afraid, but I'm looking forward to it too, because your recommendations are usually off the wall. What's your recommendation this week?
It's not off the wall. So first of all, I already threw out the Walk and Talk as a freebie, so we won't even count that as a recommendation, but that's just a little bonus one. Okay. My recommendation this week, as many of my past recommendations have been, is cooking related. So for a long time, I wanted to get a saucier, which is a kind of pan. It's kind of like a cross between a saucepan and a sauté pan, where it has high walls, but it's sloped so that it's not like the right angles that you get with like a soup pot. And these are useful, as the name suggests, for making sauce, because they have a bigger surface area than a high wall, than a straight walled saucepan. But you can also use them more like you would use a frying pan as well. So they're very versatile. But when I was looking for them, they were really expensive. And then I realized that the same exact pan is sold at much cheaper prices under the title Chef's Pan. So I bought a Cuisinart one for like $30. And it's fantastic. So I recommend, if you like cooking at home, especially if you like making, sauces, soups, things that combine liquid and solid ingredients, definitely go get yourself a chef's pan.
What's the finish on the pan?
Right. Good question. This is nonstick.
Nonstick. Okay. And what is your favorite thing that you've cooked with it so far?
One thing that it's really good for is there's a way of cooking pasta where you cook it in, you cover the pasta in just enough water to cook it. But no more. And so as it cooks down, the water thickens with the starch from the pasta and becomes the base for your sauce. So basically, what you can, this is a great application of the chef's pan or the saucier. So cook your whatever that you're going to have with the pasta, vegetables, sausage, whatever, sauce, cook that in the pan, pour it into a bowl, set it aside. Then pour in your pasta, just cover it with boiling water, cook it down for, you know, 10 minutes or whatever. And at the end, you have just this hyper starchy small amount of liquid. And then when you pour your vegetables or meat or whatever back in and mix it all around and dump in some Parmesan, you get this really nice textured sauce.
I'm getting super hungry listening to you describe this.
Well, luckily it's about to be lunchtime.
Thank you for that recommendation. That's great.
Yeah, my pleasure. What's your recommendation this week?
Oh, I have to bring us back to Slack. I'm sorry.
Oh, right. I actually have a reminder about this one.
Okay, so I just discovered this the other day while going deeper into Slack's features. you must use the calendar chatbot in Slack. So I'm using GCal and I've connected my GCal with Slack. This requires permissions like every other darn app. Like, you know, it's like we need your social security number and naming rights right. to your firstborn child. And
right.
okay, it's not quite that level, but right. there are
But it gets permission to read and edit everything in your calendar.
Exactly. So now, congratulations, Slack. You can edit my dentist appointments. But then the Slack bot, when
Wait, Lauren, calendars are actually extremely revealing.
Oh, no, they are.
I'm just saying, it's like not just your dentist appointment. You know, there might be some sensitive stuff in there about where you go, who you're meeting with, when you're doing it. So, Sorry. This is just me on my privacy soapbox. I'm so sorry. Carry on.
Now I have regrets about recommending this. You're making me question everything in my life. Well, it's not like I have like a track record of signing up for every single app and leaving digital footprints everywhere I go. I only wrote a story about it. Okay. All right. So let's just say you're willing to throw privacy out the window. Thank you, God, for ringing the alarm bells on that. You should check out the calendar chatbot in Slack because every morning when you sign on to Slack, it's going to rattle off your calendar appointments for you in like a separate little Slack chat or DM. It's going to remind you a few minutes before those calendar appointments pop up again. And then this is the best part, I think. It also automatically puts up that little calendar logo next to your name when you're in a meeting. And I really like this. Like I'm looking at my Slack right now and it says in a meeting with a calendar logo. I didn't put that up there. That was done by the Slack bot because the Slack bot saw in my calendar that we were taping this podcast during that time. So goes back a little bit to my pet peeve about a lack of really useful away messages or away messages that people actually pay attention to. But this will at least put up some sign of the fact that you are in a meeting and it does it for you as you pop into the meeting. So yeah. Also, my second recommendation would be just leave Slack channels that you're not participating in. Just leave them. Say goodbye. Don't think twice about it. Leave anything that's not sparking joy.
I can also, as an intermediary step from that, if there's channels that you only occasionally want to look at for some reason, you can completely silence them so that they're always faded and you may only get a notification if somebody mentions you. But I found that as a good way to kind of declutter without completely leaving channels that I every, like, you know, 5 months might jump into for some reason.
It's a good idea.
Thank you.
Well, hopefully this podcast has sparked joy and not trepidation about our video conferencing future. Galad, thank you so much for co-hosting this episode with me.
Anytime.
And thanks for that great pasta recommendation, too. I'm more excited about the pasta than the chef's pan, I'm not going to lie.
Well, why not both?
Thanks to all of you for listening, for spending the precious time that you could have been on yet another video conference and instead listening to our show. If you have feedback, you can find all of us on Twitter. Just check the show notes. Galad will be back to co-host with me again next week. And I'm very excited about that. Woo-hoo! Our producer is the excellent Boone Ashworth. Goodbye for now. We'll be back next week.
Hackers and cybercriminals have always held this kind of special fascination.
Obviously, I can't tell you too much about what I do.
It's a game. Who's the best hacker? And I was like, well, this is child's play.
I'm Dina Temple-Raston. And on the Click Here podcast, you'll meet them and the people trying to stop them.
We're not afraid of the attack. We're afraid of the creativity and the intelligence of the human being behind it.
Click Here. Stories about the people making and breaking our digital world.
AI machine.
Satellite. Engine ignition.
Click here.
And liftoff.
Click here every Tuesday and Friday, wherever you get your podcasts. From PR.